So, yeah, and I want to make sure I see the timer, which I do. Wonderful. Great. So, hi, my name's Linda. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic. And it's nice to see everybody. I was in OA for a few years back in my 20s. I let personalities get in the way of principles and ended up leaving and was gone about 30 years. It did not go well in that time. I've been back, it'll be 12 years in the beginning of May, and I'm profoundly grateful. I was a very heavy bulimic. I never had any restricting. I did throw up several times a week, yet at my top weight, I still got to 215 pounds at 5'4". And I'm now at about, I'm significantly lower than that. I've been at a healthy body weight, sometimes skirting a little bit to the beginning to not be particularly healthy, but at the end of the day, a healthy body weight for probably 11 years. I haven't thrown up or binged on sugar. I've eaten very little white flour, not because I think there's any morality attached to that, but I cannot eat that stuff safely. So I'm really, really grateful. It was, in terms of what it used to be like, it was bad. It just was really bad. And of course, got progressively worse. To fast forward to what was going on for me right before I got into program this time is I was 49 years old. I had developed type 2 diabetes, was taking medication similar to metformin to help my pancreas generate a little bit more insulin, and I would have really huge sugar binges to the degree where I would pass out, I would be throwing up, and I would take more of the metformin in order to lower my blood sugar more when I binged, and I truly thought I was getting away with something. And I was lucky that nothing really super serious happened. What I did find is that the sugar seemed to be shorter acting than the medication, because I would drop down to pretty low glucose levels that if they had gone lower, I could have gone into a coma. And I don't even know what levels my glucose went up to when I was binging and purging, because I'll tell you that I'm sure that that metformin did not cover the truly profound amount of food that I ate. I don't remember exactly how often I threw up and even how often I binge, but at the very least, it was several times a week. I would get off at work at 1, I'd come home, my husband was at work, and I would, go to Lucky, wherever, and get thing like 2, 3 pints of ice cream, dozen donuts. Is it okay to mention this food? Just to kind of give you guys a sense of where I was at.
You have somebody who might be triggered by that. So
Sure.
just general things.
Oh, sure, not a problem. A whole bunch of binge foods, and I would eat and throw up and eat and throw up, and it was just me and the TV and that food. I would stand in the grocery store and think, oh, if I get this kind of thing instead of that kind of thing, that'll do it. Should I get this type or this flavor or that flavor? And I would truly stand there and obsess and think that if I could get the perfect combination of these binge foods, then what? It's chasing that high, that satisfaction, obviously, that never comes. So I was standing in my kitchen at the age of 49, and I said to myself, tomorrow I will start eating healthily. So I've been in 12-step before, and all of a sudden, I'm not a big God person, I'm not a big messages from beyond type person, but I really felt like I was hit with this epiphany. I started thinking about the big book for some reason, and it just came to me all of the rationalizations, all of the addictive thinking that Bill does such a great job of reviewing. And I thought, wow, Linda, you are full of shit that you're going to start eating healthily tomorrow. And that denial just passed to that degree. Went to a meeting that night, the woman who spoke, I asked her to be my sponsor the next morning, and she was my sponsor for about 6.5 years. And I've been working with other people since. And like I said, I've not thrown up, have not binged on sugar. It's really quite amazing. So My experience in program is that I believe in the steps and the principles presented in the steps from the bottom of my heart. I love when OA came up with the principles associated with each step. It was shorthand. I could really focus on them. And looking through them, yeah, I think honesty, faith, trust, integrity, love, all the stuff I thought, oh, wow, I like this. Let me try to live by these principles the best I can, as opposed to the principles that I grew up with, which were resentment, rage, self-centered fear, self-centeredness, despair. That's how I learned to respond to life, all the while trying to look good. And I did look good on the outside. I well educated, big personality, people like me. Could really look like I had my stuff together, except for when I became pretty emotionally dysregulated quite often. That led to a lot of problems in relationships, certainly has led to job problems. Career has been the most difficult thing for me throughout my life. I'm educated, I'm smart, and it's been really hard for me to be able to behave sanely enough to keep a job without being overwrought, over emotional, going to my boss crying about this and that, and I'm so sorry. I have pretty significant ADHD, which actually has gotten worse over the years with the compulsive eating and some other mental health symptoms really resolving to a large degree. I've been left with this ADHD, which has also caused a lot of problems with me in terms of work, blah, 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 you name it. And it also for me has caused problems with my program, or at least I like to tell myself that. I, at one point in program, I did have a pretty standard daily practice of meditation, reading meditation books, making more calls frequently, doing my writing. But I have struggled with that usually, pretty much for these 12 years, not writing consistently. Once I stopped working with my original sponsor, I have been through really a lot of sponsors. I would always commit to, I'm going to work this tool and that tool. And with the ADHD and the habituated avoidance of life, I just would not do the things I committed to. So a lot of sponsors were like, oh, I don't know, Linda, you're going to call at 6 a.m. and you didn't. And, they chose not to work with me. And I could understand that. I really did not blame them, but I've been scared a lot about can I do enough to work this program? Because around the time that I stopped working with that original sponsor, before that, my abstinence was pretty effortless. It was open, it worked for me, but within that flexibility, it was very structured. My life got a lot bigger as I began to get better, both emotionally, behaviorally, to really an astounding degree. My moods became much more regulated. I am now a therapist, about to get my license in a year. I started going back to school. I was 54 when I started with prerequisite classes. This is after I worked at Starbucks for 7 years, and I'm like in my 40s and early 50s, worked at other restaurants. I'd be hanging out with my coworkers, and I had one coworker especially who, loved to check out guys. So this cute, like 25-year-old guy would come and she's like, oh, look at that guy, he's so cute. I'm like, oh yeah, oh my God, he's so hot. Then all of a sudden I'd be like, oh my God, I'm 50 years old, and I'm kind of responding to these young men the way a woman their age would. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, 25-year-old guys are cute. But it just, I wasn't really functioning to my age level. Like I said, that's gotten profoundly better. And then my food started getting messy. And of course, COVID too, really quite messy off and on. And I just continuously, oh, I'm not doing it well enough. And the sponsor is concerned. And she thought that I should work with another sponsor. And I even felt this way during that six years when things were relatively more straightforward. And I'm like that to this day. Oh, I should write more. I should do this more. What is wrong with me? And these last few months, my food has been so much better than the few months before that, or actually the several years before that, off and on. And the way that happened was not by all of a sudden I woke up one day and I'm writing every day and reading for today every day. I aspire to that. And I think I will get a more consistent practice at some point. But it had to do with self-forgiveness and some grief associated with the fact that I'm just not the freaking organized person. I could take this computer and show you what this room looks like. Certain things are more difficult for me than they are for some other people. And what if that was okay? What if what I did was okay with that aspiration of doing more, because it is important? What if it was okay? And what if I've been giving myself an unduly hard time all these years about my program not being good enough? It's just like, obsession with food or other things that my brain just knee-jerk goes into. Oh, not good enough, not good enough, not good enough. And the fear that goes along with that. So now I work an imperfect program, but this sponsor is sticking with me. And the more I look at what I do, the more apt I am to do more program actions. So quite often I email her a 10th step and an inventory. The idea is that I do it every night. I wish I did. I have this obstinance. There's somewhere in the big book where he talks about a resistance so profound that it's sickening, or I don't remember how he puts it, but I'm like, oh, that's me. Yet at the end of the day, I believe in these principles. I do some work and I live them to the best of my ability. I have only worked the 12 steps totally through once, and I've just started my second time, meaning I finished writing a first step a couple months ago, and I have the question for the second step, but I haven't looked at it. But I know that I will. And somehow I know that the best I can do each day is good enough. And I think I'm repeating myself. So how can I move on from that? I will say one last thing, that it has been very confusing for me these last X number of years to be functioning incredibly better. And like I was saying, not becoming dysregulated as easily. When I do, regaining very quickly. Being able to go to school for 3 years, two of them over Zoom, work in this field, which is challenging. I work now in an inpatient treatment center for people recovering from substance use disorders. It's pretty hard. And I'm blessed with a wonderful set of colleagues in a good enough environment. And as always, being a therapist, it's the paperwork and the organization and the time management that has always been the hardest. The best, I deal with that the best when I have acceptance that this is the difficulty for me. I am able to let go somehow of the bitterness that I should be different, to let go of the fantasy that I will become this organized person. And although, who knows, maybe I will, but I turn it over, it's not up to me. What a relief. I just can't even tell you. So this opens me up to work to not only work tools, but to practice these principles, which I have been speaking of this whole time and very quickly. And I probably will go a little bit over the 15 because God knows I love to talk. I'm sure you could be like, oh, that girl, that woman is ADHD. She didn't have to tell us. But oh well, so I do. But really quickly about these principles. Step one is honesty. Honesty is the key, right? I cannot keep food to myself, what I eat. I've been very good at that because if I don't reach out to a fellow, I at least tell my husband what I eat. He's in program. That helps. Keeping a secret, bad. And honesty in life is of the utmost importance to me. And I love to say I am really, really honest. And the truth is, I'm really, really honest, except for when I'm not. Again, this program is a practice. if I ended up not being completely honest one day, I've got the next day. Hope, I think, is the next one for step two. Really, my whole life, I've been like, what is that? I just never even thought about it. Hope for what? Hope that I will like myself, that I'll stop eating. I didn't even let myself get to the point where I would entertain hope. I didn't grow up with a sense of hope. So anyway, I like hope, and I work with my clients on hope. And the third one is what? Trust. I have, being that I have not done it, it's been difficult for me to trust that I will do the program well enough. I trust this program. I trust it wholeheartedly, because again, like God, not God, right every day or not, whatever. I look at these principles, and this is a way to live that makes sense to me. So I trust that. And I also trust that this program, it is a match with my true self, the self beyond, underneath the eating, the self-hatred, the obsessing, blah, 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 the mood difficulties, which are profoundly better. I trust that this brings me to where I need to be. I think I got the order wrong. I don't know, because all of a sudden I have faith for step three. That's what I meant to talk about. Trust, faith. I never believed in God. I grew up in, I finally found a word for it, an apatheist home. I'm not really an atheist. I grew up in an apatheist, now I forgot how to pronounce it, whatever, home, which meant I never thought about it. I never thought about God. I swear to God, it never occurred to me to think about it. So this idea of faith is so helpful for me. And as my spirituality has developed, the biggest thing about faith and higher power for me has been, as people say, I don't know about a higher power, but I know it's not me. This idea that there is something other than what this head tells me. And I believe very strongly in learning how to make my head my ally as opposed to my foe, as it has most of my life. So I have faith that there is something or other, solutions to problems, ways to self-love, blah, 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 that I don't necessarily see this moment, but I will see it eventually. Just don't binge. Okay, so step four is something, courage. Yeah, we're all courageous sitting in this room. I don't care what's going on with you otherwise. This is an act of courage to face all this stuff and the truth of the disease, the feeling, the disappointment of, for me, most of my life living in this disease. So I feel pretty courageous. And I feel courageous to hang in there. Okay, I'm going through the step five, integrity, similar to honesty. This is a hard one for me. It's doing what you say you're going to do, acting in a way that aligns with your values. I'm good at the second part and increasingly so. What a great way to live. Integrity. Oh, I'm going to write, do step work tonight. I don't, blah, blah, blah. You know how I deal with that? I stop freaking promising that I'm going to do it. I always thought the way was to make myself do it. I don't promise. And then I end up doing it more often than I would otherwise, it being whatever the thing is. Six, willingness. For me right now, the willingness that I'm most aware of is the willingness to hang in there with this program and believing in it and doing. I do a lot that I don't want to do. And I want to look at that part too, because that's the truth. Yeah, so I have willingness, humility. The first thing that comes to my mind, and I believe the first thing that comes to my mind, and I tend to say it, except for when it's like, fuck you, I don't like you, you're a jerk. I try not to say that. For me, the humility has, the problem with that has been forgetting the nature of the disease. And it's very interesting for me to discuss this with my clients individually in group sessions every single day. And then being like, oh, am I respecting this disease? And then I start with the like faulty cognition that I'm talking with them about. Oh, it's okay. I can eat this one thing. It'll be okay. And I talked to them about CBT replacement thoughts. What's the thought that you can habituate to counter that faulty alcoholic thinking thought? And I'm like, I mean, like last month, I'm like, oh, I can do that for myself. So I started thinking about when I start thinking, oh, it's okay if I eat this, I'm trying to habituate. It's not okay, period. And that has been really, really helpful. Again, trying to make my brain my friend. And humility is a beautiful thing, right? The self-hatred, as it says in the literature, is the other side of humility, like what makes me think I'm so horrible and different. Step eight, self-discipline. Well, yeah, I think I've covered that. Everything's an aspiration, everything is a practice. And there you go. Love. I'm really big on love. I am really big on love. I feel like it's the truth of my psychic self. I feel like there is a connection to love that is available out there, whatever that means. And I access that more and more, and I'm extremely happy about that. Okay, we're getting there. We're getting there. I'm out of time. Perseverance, I do that. That's step 10. Step 11. Spiritual awareness, I definitely do that. I'm on a spiritual path, different from a lot of people's. It's mine. It's really astounding how that's helped sustain me in my recovery. Step 12, service. I forget about service. Somebody asks me to speak, I'm like, oh, I should do it. I don't really want to. And then sometimes I'm like, ooh, I get to talk about my favorite subject, my own self. This is pretty cool. And I forget that it does service to other people. And if I want to get into, oh, what I say isn't helpful and people are going to think I'm wacky, sure. That's the example of my brain doing what it does. Doesn't mean I have to give it a lot of room. And when I say things to myself like, oh, I missed that meeting. I'm so bad, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to tell my sponsor I didn't go. And it's like, oh, by showing up, that service, I'm a body in the room. And if I'm a timer, that counts. And I give service all day long in my job, so that helps fit it in. Even I'm like, I don't want to call anybody. I text somebody, hey, how you doing? Thinking of you. Would love to talk if you want. I do call people more than feels comfortable, off and on. And by saying, I have not thrown up. I am at a healthy weight. My life is profoundly better than I could ever imagine. And I made a commitment. I'm really good at being the timer because you just sit there and put 3 minutes on your phone, although sometimes I forget. But I made a commitment to be the secretary every other Sunday for a meeting. And I work Sundays and it's hard for me to get out of work. But
I think
that,
she
again, that
hosted.
faulty cognition of, oh, I'm
It.
still within the 20, right?
No, it's actually
Oh my God, I'm done. Thank
if
you.
you want to wrap it up, it's been great.
Yeah, just that. Yeah, well, that's it. Thanks for letting me share. Sorry to go.